A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The word of Yahweh came to me, "Mortal, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them to the shepherds, thus says Yahweh God, ah, you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed. You have not sought the lost. But with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And scattered they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains. And on every hill, my sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with no one to search or seek for them. For thus says Yahweh God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says Yahweh God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of Christ.
I think it probably wouldn't be much of a reach to understand that as we are gathered here in the Church of the Good Shepherd, and then hearing the readings that we've heard today, that there's a little bit of a theme going on, a particular image of Jesus that we want to draw our attention to. And of course, the answer is yes. But there's actually more than one image of Jesus being displayed here. And part of what we want to see in this image, these images, is the emphasis about Christ Jesus that John gives us that might be a little bit unexpected. But let's begin with what our reading had to do today in the gospel. It comes right after the healing of the blind man, which we talked about last week. But even though it follows right on the heels of that episode, it's kind of difficult to see that one would have just flowed right into the other. Now, this is not necessary anyway. John is telling his story. He is writing and then having us read his approach of the life of Jesus, the declaration of who the Christ is. And so things don't have to fall exactly into place. So I think it's good for us not to think that chapter 9 just flows right into chapter 10, but we simply have chapter 10 sitting on its own. Something else that John wants to come across or get across to us about Jesus. And he does so by having Jesus begin with something he calls a figure of speech, which itself is kind of curious. How come he doesn't just use the word parable? I don't have an answer for that, but I'm just saying this is what it does. And what he has to say first is not understood by the people. The initial thing that Jesus is trying to say doesn't seem to work so well. You might remember hearing Noel read just a second ago that Jesus says, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep hear his voice. Before we go any further, we need to help understand what it is that we're looking at. This is an image that would have been very, very familiar with everybody back then. Shepherds were a common thing, and the way shepherds worked was pretty straightforward. But for us, there are some things we can miss if we don't revisit how it works. There would be several flocks of sheep taken care of by different shepherds, and they would be during the day out in the fields having pasture so they can graze and be fed and so on. But then at night, they would come to a sheepfold for safety. So this was an enclosure that had walls of a certain height to keep, you know, predators out, and there was a gate to control access to it. But there would be more than one flock that would be contained within that sheepfold. So you could have maybe three or four flocks being led into the sheepfold by the shepherds. We are told that there was a gatekeeper, someone responsible for opening and closing the gate, and the idea for the security of everything was that the gatekeeper would only open it for the shepherds, who he recognized, so that the sheep coming in would only be the appropriate sheep, and of course, no one else would get to come in to rustle any of the sheep. These flocks, while they would sleep together at night, one might wonder, how do they keep them separate? How do you keep the sheep from getting mixed up? Well, it turns out that sheep are able to recognize the voice of the shepherd that takes care of them. And so in the morning, what would happen, and Jesus went on to say this as well, is that the shepherd would call to his sheep, and they would follow him because they recognize his voice. And this is what actually would happen. And so the one shepherd would get going, he'd call his sheep, and only those sheep that recognize his voice would leave the sheepfold. The others would remain until their respective shepherds led them out as well. And so Jesus is trying to make it clear that he has sheep that hear his voice and follow him. And then the shepherd would lead them to pasture, lead them to where it is that they can eat and where they can continue to grow and be healthy. And Jesus is talking about this. Now, why does he talk about it, though? Why does he bring up this metaphor? Why does he bring up this figure of speech? Well, one of the things he says is that the sheep will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And after having said that, we're told that they didn't understand what he was saying to them. I think Jesus starts in this line of speaking now. I think John highlights this imagery because the sheep are running away from the people that expect them to stay put. The people who are following Jesus are no longer following the religious leaders of the day. They're no longer following the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And Jesus is trying to say, look, the reason they're running away from you is because they are following me. They are following the voice they recognize as being the voice of their shepherd. So there's an account being given as to why it is there would be some of these Jewish people that are no longer following the leadership of the Jewish religious authorities. They're following this shepherd instead. Well, they don't get it. And so John says Jesus gives another analogy. And in this case, it's a really curious one that he says. Again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep," which is now kind of mixing the metaphors a little bit, because he just said a second ago that there is a gate and there's a gatekeeper who will open and close the gate, and Jesus is identifying himself as a shepherd, you know, not quite directly yet. But now he's saying he actually is the gate itself. "All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them." So now he amps it up a little bit more. He's once again talking about people that the sheep are not listening to. In the previous thing, they were simply strangers and they don't recognize their voice, but now they are thieves and bandits. They are ones that are wanting to cause harm to the sheep. They are not caring for the sheep. They instead are wanting to exploit the sheep. And Jesus, by saying that he is the gate, is saying, "I'm the one who controls access to the sheep when they are protected in the sheepfold. And similarly, I am the one through whom they must pass in order to go out to pasture and to receive the nourishment that they need." So Jesus is setting himself up again over against the religious leaders of the day, over against the Pharisees and Sadducees and others. But he amps up the language, saying that there's something negative about them. They're strangers, they're thieves and bandits. Now, it is interesting, the different approaches that have been taken on this passage to say all who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. It certainly makes sense most directly that Jesus is talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they were already doing their thing before Jesus showed up, and here Jesus is pulling people away from them, but he's already speaking of them negatively. That makes the most sense. But there is a train of thought that's suggesting that this is a coded message that John himself is saying about the other three Gospels. Because Mark, Matthew, and Luke were written before John was written. In fact, John was written a decade or two after Luke was. And some people think that John is kind of hinting at the fact that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they don't really have the message. "I've got the message here." Now, I think that might be a bit of a stretch, I think. But at the same time, we do have a tendency to favor the Gospel of John over the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The most favorite memory verses about Jesus we tend to have come from the Gospel of John. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that's John 3:16, right? The fact that Jesus says, "It is finished," on the cross, well, that's only in the Gospel of John. You know, "I am the good shepherd," all of these "I am" statements are only in the Gospel of John. We have a tendency to favor it, and even in Christian symbolism, we tend to do that. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 4, there is a vision of heaven that includes living creatures that have four faces on them. And the four faces that these winged creatures have, one is of a man, one is of a lion, one is of an ox, and one is of an eagle. And Christian tradition has chosen to identify those four faces with the four Gospels. And these are the images you see on our lectern right here. And every one of these images is supposed to be a winged creature. We only see wings implied with the eagle and, of course, on this human creature here. Sometimes we make us think this is supposed to be an angel, but really it isn't. The Gospel of Matthew was associated with the image of the human face, the divine man, the Son of God. So the image that Matthew presents is Jesus is indeed the divine man. So that face, it is said, is speaking to that gospel. Then the image of the lion is assigned to Mark because the lion is the king of the beasts, the lion is strong, the lion is victorious. And so the Gospel of Mark, which definitely speaks of that kind of power of Jesus being shown, is assigned this image of the lion. And then the symbol of the ox is one of the sacrificial animals. And one of the key themes in the Gospel of Luke is that Jesus was the innocent sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And so the image of the ox is assigned to the Gospel of Luke. The image of the eagle is assigned to the Gospel of John because just as the eagle soars high above all of creation, the implication is that the Gospel of John has the highest view of Jesus. It has the highest Christology. And that might be some of the reason why the late Al Gerritsen, who was the woodworking artist who put this together for us, might have very well put the eagle of the Gospel of John on top of the other three Gospels. We have a tendency to favor the Gospel of John over Mark, Matthew, and Luke because of the image of Christ Jesus it gives us. May I simply ask you this question? Is that a good idea to do? I would suggest not. If the scriptures we have that are given to us are the scriptures as a whole, we ought to take all four of the Gospels into consideration as we contemplate what they're seeing about Jesus. We can all have our favorite verses, our favorite passages, our favorite books, but we ought to be careful not to have a particular book of the four come to the front and be the dominant one. Let's instead see what each of these Gospels is saying about Jesus. Let each book say its thing and take all of them into consideration as we understand and learn who Jesus is. So that was perhaps a little bit of a parenthesis, but I'm just saying it would be wise for us to keep that in mind. The Gospel of John is doing a job different from what the other Gospels do. If anybody does favor the Gospel of John because they like it better, because Jesus is more clearly divine in it, okay, you can like it for that reason, but we cannot minimize the other Gospels just for that reason alone. They're doing a different job. In any event, Jesus has begun trying to highlight who he is over against the Pharisees and Sadducees and explaining why there are people who are not following the Pharisees and Sadducees but following him instead. And he's saying, they hear my voice, they recognize my voice, they know who I am. And so after talking about this thing about being the gate, adding to the metaphor, he now comes to the favored metaphor that we have today. I am the good shepherd, he says. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He goes on to say, that's why I'm the good shepherd, because I do lay down my life for the sheep. Now, in Jesus taking on that metaphor, I'm going to suggest to you he's not just doing it because it was a handy reference, because there were some sheep over there and people know about them. He was deliberately making use of a connection that is made with Ezekiel 34, which is the first passage you heard read today. Here, during the time of the exile, the prophet is speaking for Yahweh to the people of Israel and saying, part of the reason why you are where you are is because you had lousy shepherds. He uses the term shepherds to refer to the leaders of Israel who were meant to lead the people of Israel into righteousness, into holiness, into doing good things, being obedient to Yahweh, and to be led into success. So the kings and the priests were the shepherds of Israel, and the criticism leveled against them in the book of Ezekiel was they were not getting the job done. Instead, they were busy doing things for their own benefit. They were looking out to their own interests rather than binding up the brokenhearted and healing the sick and supporting the weak. They were instead making use of their roles and the positions they had for their own benefit. Sound at all familiar? You know, some stereotypes exist for a reason. Now, personally, I have a soft spot for politicians. I appreciate the challenge of the role they have to fulfill. But one of the things in our democracy that we often hear is the people who are in charge and in authority over us don't seem to be caring too much about us. They're just wanting to do what they want to do. And perhaps we're seeing that a little bit more these days in various places than we ought to. There is a sense that those who are in leadership exist in order to serve those over whom they have leadership. At least that was clearly the intent in the way God wanted things to operate with the nation of Israel. And it wasn't happening. So Ezekiel is critical of the shepherds, saying, this is why the sheep were scattered. This is why they ended up going all over the world. And of course, they were exiled from Israel to Babylon. And then in the second part of that reading, Yahweh says, I am going to shepherd the people. I am going to look for them and bind them up and comfort them and heal them. I am going to feed them. I will be their shepherd. And now here in the Gospel of John, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's announcing that he is the one fulfilling what Yahweh had promised in Ezekiel 34. This is what it is that I am doing. When I'm talking about others who are strangers that the sheep won't listen to, or who would be thieves and robbers, I'm just using the same material that Ezekiel was using back then, saying it still applies today, but I am the good shepherd. Why? Because I'm not looking out for my own interests. Instead, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. He's going to go on and say, no one takes my life from me. That is what you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus is very deliberate in sacrificing himself on his terms for the sake of the sheep. And John is wanting to bring out the power of this image that being the good shepherd, Jesus is someone who is there for the sheep. He is there for his people. An interesting thing about the Gospel of John is that in this very high view of Christ Jesus, John's description of Jesus is perhaps not quite what we would expect it would be with such a high view. I mentioned before that there are seven statements that John has Jesus say in his gospel, all of them that start off with a very emphatic, I am, and then he says he is something. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. And I am the light of the world. Did I say that one already? I think I might have missed one. Anyway, trust me on this, that all seven of these statements do not speak of somebody who is taking dramatic, someone is not dramatically taking authority, but instead providing something for people. The bread of life, here's the bread that you need to leave, need to live. The light of the world, here is your ability to see. The gate, you can come into safety and go out to pasture through me. The good shepherd, I'm taking care of you, laying down my life for you. The vine, I'm the one in whom you find life. I am the resurrection and the life. If death is a thing, I can bring life to that. The other one I missed. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The whole idea that I am indeed the way to follow. All of these images speak to something that is being offered to sustain us. It does not speak of somebody taking a position of power and authority to take something. Instead, it is something that is offered, something that is given. One of the interesting things about the Gospel of John is Jesus doesn't even cast out any demons in his gospel. There's a reference made to the devil, to Satan, to demons, but he never even casts out a demon in his gospel. Instead, this one who has that divinity that is celebrated and emphasized in this gospel is the one who offers to all of us the gifts of life that he has to give. The image of Jesus as the good shepherd, along with these other images, provide for us the basis by which we can do what John's intention is for his readers to do, and that is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, have life in his name. And we've talked about this before. Belief isn't just mental assent to a bunch of facts, but it speaks about faith. It speaks about putting your trust in him. And if Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who lives for the sake of the sheep and gives up his life for the sheep and is there to be the source of life and light and everything we need, grasping that image makes it that much easier to put our trust in him, to trust what it is that he has been talking about, what it is that he has been teaching, what it is that he has been doing, and what it is that we understand he is still here to do today. Let me encourage you, as you continue on in the season of Lent, to contemplate this thought of Jesus as the Good Shepherd, the one who is caring for you, who is caring for us, who is caring for the world. Not out to take something in the world, but to serve it. If the church embraced these images of Christ Jesus more firmly, I'm convinced we would not be seeing a lot of what we are seeing right now in the world, which is often done in the name of Christ. Jesus came to give, to serve, to feed, to care for, to protect, to defend. You're never going to see a shepherd go out there and take territory. He's simply going to lead the sheep to where the food is good. And that is who we are, and that is who our Lord is. So let's contemplate that image of Christ Jesus over the next few weeks. Amen.